Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Howard Ruff is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. You know who Howard is. You've heard of him over the years. Many of you have followed his sage advice. He's a financial expert and a financial publishing expert. Many of you have subscribed to his publication, The Ruff Times. He's also the author of a book perhaps you've heard of. He sold something under a billion copies of this book, How to Prosper in the Coming Bad During the Coming Bad Years. He's the author of a new book, Safely Prosperous or Really Rich. He's our new friend, Howard Ruff. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
It's good to have you here. You know, Howard, small business owners are special for a lot of reasons. But one of the things that makes us a little bit special, especially for a guy like you who advises people on how to invest their money, is if we ever actually do get a couple of nickels to rub together, the conundrum that we have is do we invest it in, say, a stock like a lot of people do, like employees do, for example, or do we invest it in our own businesses? And as you know, being a small business owner yourself, there's always plenty of places to put our profits, isn't there?
Well, that depends on when you're asking me this advice. For example, right now, because I believe we're very early in a very long bear market that's going to last for several more years, I wouldn't be putting anything in any stocks right now. You know, during bear markets, some stocks do well, of course.
Right.
But the odds are against you, and they're too darn hard to pick. My bias, if you want to call it that, is that you ought to put your money in something where you can have some control over the result, where you can mm-hmm. affect the result.
Mm-hmm.
And the right now, I'm just betting, assuming that the stock market is going to go up, which is totally outside your control and you may be wrong, is not a very good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, you basically, you're kind of supporting what most of us do, and that's and you know about this, and that's that whenever you do, as you grow your business, as you do have a little success, there's always a place to put your money in your business, isn't there?
Well, yes, there certainly is, and but you know the difference between an entrepreneur and a small businessman?
Tell us.
Well, a small businessman just wants to be his own boss. Maybe he wants to own a bar
right.
or a restaurant or a shop of some kind, or maybe somebody else's franchise. But an entrepreneur who's invented a widget wants to become McWidgets. He has dreams of becoming much larger.
Mm-hmm.
And the real road to wealth, which is what the second half of my book is devoted to, is mostly achieved by small businessmen who become entrepreneurs and eventually go public.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of ways to do that, not just
right.
IPOs. There's lots of ways to accomplish this objective. And that's where the real wealth is created literally out of nothing, simply by using capitalism as a tool.
Right. You mentioned the second half of your book. You actually do break your book into two sections. One is, the first section is just basically how to find some prosperity with as little risk as possible, and the second one is where you take more risks. The second half is where you
the first half, not just as little risk as possible, but no risk at all.
Yeah,
it's safely prosperous, and most Americans are going to be perfectly satisfied with that. You know, they're going to have a nice debt-free retirement, but the those who really would like to more than that, who want to become wealthy, there's some very specific tools to use, and there's a totally different course of action. They're not the same roads at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting that you looked around and said, okay, there are two kinds of folks out there, the folks who want to take no risk and the folks who want to take risks, and so I'm going to write something for both of those guys. You're basically not saying one is right and one is wrong. You're saying that there are two kinds of folks and both of them need some help.
Oh, yeah. And it is true. There isn't a question of right or wrong. It's a question of what your temperament suits you to do. But in talking about risk, we use the term generously, and we think that the guy who wants to get rich just has more risk. No, he has a different kind of risk. The kind of risk that he takes is the one where he can help to determine the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, let's take borrowing, for example. A person wants to be safely prosperous, will have no consumer debt, no debt at all. He stays out of debt and then instead earns interest rather than paying it. The person who wants to be really rich, however, he has debt. But he makes sure that the debt is put to work so that it produces enough income to service the debt and eventually retire the debt, leaving behind the assets. Consequently, the issue of risk is that the person who wants to be really rich takes carefully calculated risks with the odds on his side and where he can take action that will determine the result, not just putting himself in the hands of great impersonal forces by fortunately guessing right about which way they're going.
So the debt that he has or she has is applied to leverage some element, something that that will grow their dream, that will help them, that will be productive as they grow this dream that they have for their business.
Sure. Rich people are heavily in debt often.
Right.
But it's useful debt. They use a debt to them as a tool, a useful business tool,
right,
as opposed to people, the rest of the world who goes into debt simply because they want to pretend to be rich and live the great American lie. Look how rich I am. When actually what they ought to be saying is, look how much in debt I am, living lives of quiet desperation while hoping that their income continues.
Right. Well, that's the reason they call debt leverage. And that's really a good term for the right kind of debt, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But the term leverage, incidentally, as usually, as you have just referred to it, is really excessively limited. For example, I have a chapter on leverage, and there are several different kinds of leverage other than money leverage or other than debt.
Mm-hmm.
There's people leverage. Small businessman who does everything himself, who doesn't use anybody else to do it, to do work, who thinks he must have his hand in everything, that he must perform everything, he hasn't learned to use people leverage. The person who learns to use people leverage and on his way to wealth is happily paying people to do things that will expand and grow his business, and knowing that they are working to make him wealthy, and they're probably working, try to be safely prosperous and hoping to have a job and income that's safe and put some of it aside and earn compound interest on it. But the people leverage is probably more important than money leverage.
Well said. Howard Ruff, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Safely Prosperous or Really Rich. When we come back after these messages, Howard says he's made a mistake or two in his life, and he's willing to share that with us. I'm going to ask him about some of these mistakes, and then I'm going to ask him also, how can we have money and true happiness? 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Howard Ruff. Many of you know who he is. He's a best-selling author. His famous book, How to Prosper During the Coming Bad Years, his famous financial newsletter called The Rough Times. He's got a new book out, which I encourage you to check out, folks. It's called Safely Prosperous or Really Rich, Choosing Your Personal Financial Heaven. And the foreword, by the way, is by the famous Robert Allen. Howard, I want to ask you about some of these mistakes. Now, here's what you say in your book. You say, I never learned a thing from my considerable successes. Most of what I know, I learned from my failures. And you know, that is so true. I tell my audience that the reason that that's true is because when we're successful, we're so busy high-fiving ourselves and celebrating and having parties that we're convinced that we're so smart. That's the reason we're successful. And so we never learn anything from those experiences. It's only when we fail and we have a little more time to be introspective, that's when the learning process happens, doesn't it?
Well, it's I think there's more to that even than that. For example, when you're successful, sometimes you think it's because you're smart. And sometimes just because you were the right guy in the right place at the right time, and then the times change. And so what you learn no longer applies. And that happened to me. I thought I was really smart when I was growing the rough times. I was just the right guy with the right message. People were very concerned about rising inflation. We had a crummy president, Jimmy Carter, that scared people. We had the Iranian hostage crisis, and people were very nervous about their future. So when I came along with a book called How to Prosper in the Coming Bad Years and a newsletter called The Rough Times, it rung a bell. And so I thought that that would go on forever. Well, you know, then we elected Ronald Reagan. I didn't have a whole lot to complain about, and I lost my edge, and it didn't work anymore.
Darn that Ronald Reagan. He screwed everything up, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he was a great president and a great personal friend, incidentally.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the mistakes that I made along the way were my real teachers. And I learned that principle from Art Linkletter, who's probably the greatest venture capitalist Hollywood ever produced. And he's a dear friend. And he told me that he never learned anything from the things, from the businesses he invested in and succeeded all. Everything he knows about investing in small business came from the ones that flopped.
Well, and of course, the other thing is you don't have to have abject failure to learn lessons. I mean, we have little failures every day. I mean, we need to look at those things as opportunities to learn, don't we? I mean, we don't have to say, wow, you know, if you haven't actually failed it in a business, that doesn't mean you can't learn from failure.
Well, of course not. Now, for example, let's take direct mail. I grow my newsletter by direct mail.
Right.
Well, I'm going to produce a direct mail piece that ain't going to work. Well, you learn from it. You test, you try, you keep coming back. And the key to success in business, especially on the road to real wealth, is simply resilience. You bounce back and try something else. And then you don't repeat the past mistakes. So as life goes on, you ought to get smarter and smarter, and there ought to be less mistakes. But one of the differences between the person who wants to be safely prosperous is, and the person who wants to be really rich is a safely prosperous guy. Doesn't make any mistakes. He avoids mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's the first half of the book is about. Here are things you must not do. Don't make these mistakes, and you will go sailing serenely on to a decent retirement.
Yeah.
But the person who wants to be really rich is going to make a lot of mistakes, and he's going to pick himself up and learn from them and move on. But the nature of it is, there will be errors, there will be failures along the way. It's just part of the game.
When I growing up on the farm, Howard, you telling your story there reminded me of something my dad told me once. I grew up on the farm, and one year we lost an inordinate amount of calves during the calving season. And I was pretty upset about it. I was just a young teenager, and I was upset about these calves dying. And my dad touched my shoulder, and he said, "Son, the only people who don't lose calves are the people who don't have cattle." And you know, that was an important lesson for me. The only people who don't make mistakes are the people who don't try,
who don't do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you, let me ask you this question, Howard. Talk to us about how to have money and happiness. This is a very important thing that I think small business owners should focus on. I tell my audience, if you can't be happy without money, you're not going to be happy with money.
Well, the road to misery is worshiping your money. I mean, Paul said that the love of money is the root of all evil. I think I would have put it even more strongly than Paul. Too many people worship money, and they lose things that are far more important than the money. And I've watched people ruin their lives. My father was one of these, and I tell his story in my book. And he worshiped money. He ended up losing a fortune as a result of just ego. Worship, money worship, more important to him than family. He beat my mother. He tried to abort the child. I was that child. And consequently, my mother went to bed for 7 months, refused to have even a therapeutic abortion to save her life. Now, there are those who might think the world would have been better off if my mother had had an abortion, but I'm not among them. But my father's life was totally ruined and eventually became a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But I've known people in my own life who became quite wealthy, very wealthy in one instance, and they were happy because they kept their values straight. They understood what was more important than money. They never neglected family or marriage and church and country, and they understood.
Howard, I'm going to have to stop you, but that's well said at the end there. Will you come back another day and join us again?
Yeah, and if anybody wants to know more about it, go to my website, www.roughtimes.com.
Roughtimes.com. Don't forget to check his website out. Howard Ruff, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.